Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is Lorraine Devon Wilkie. She's a writer, performer, activist. She's the author of an award-winning novel, The Alchemy of Noise. Her next book is Chick Singer. It comes out in March 2025, and her latest endeavor is a popular Substack titled The Musings of a Creative Loudmouth. Today, mostly, we'll be focusing on self-care and coping with the election results. Don't forget, I do a patrons-only show every Tuesday called What's Up. It's kind of like my online diary. I talk about all different kinds of things, mostly personal. Go to patreon.com/startmeup. The $5 tier gets you in. Take a look, choose a tier, thank you in advance. Now please enjoy my conversation with Lorraine Devon Wilkie. Welcome back to the show, Lorraine.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, Kimberly. It's been a while. It's great to be talking to you again.
It has been a while, and I want to just tell everybody, there is no music in my intro, and I'm not going to have any in my outro. And the reason why is because my music is really happy, and I'm not really happy right now. So, I mean, I'm not as bad as I've been, but, you know, I'm just not feeling it. So I'm not going to play it. I'm not saying I'll never have music again, but I'm just like, I'm in this weird place. We're all in this weird place. And so, you know, I wanted to talk to you because you had written something on your Substack, and it was basically about how to cope. And, you know, so did I. And so I just thought, all right, this would be a good opportunity for us to talk about different ways. There's like practical ways. You offer lots of practical ways. And the way that I talk about it, it's a little bit more, I'm not going to say it's not woo-woo or anything like that, but it's just kind of realizing the force that we have within. So, I mean, let's just talk about first, before we get into how to cope, I just want to ask you your kind of, it's been 2 weeks, and I think my listeners pretty much know what I've been going through because I have been pretty open and vocal about it. So I'm just like wanting to know, you know, how did this affect you and how has it evolved in these last 2 weeks?
Well, it was a sucker punch of epic proportion, as it was for you. I think the thing, like, similar to 2016, where I got very caught up in, back then, polling and really, really believed that Hillary was going to pull it out. And when it didn't happen, the night it didn't happen, I swear to God, I felt like my soul died. Mm-hmm. And I have PTSD from that. So when 2020 came, I remember that long week of waiting, mm-hmm. waiting, mm-hmm. and finally on Saturday we learned Joe Biden won. It was like an incredible moment. But then suddenly Trump is already announcing he's running again. I feel like he's the thing that won't go away. And yet, and so of course, until Biden dropped out, I was worried, like everybody was worried. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I love Joe Biden. I think he's been a great president. But there were things to worry about. So when Kamala jumped in and the momentum started and the DNC and the debate, mm-hmm. and the speeches, it felt so exciting and so much momentum. I honestly believed, I wasn't looking at any polls. I've completely eschewed any polls because I think they're bullshit. But I honestly believed she could pull it out. So on election night, I told my husband, I said, I cannot watch the returns with you. It's literally, it is a form of PTSD. I get nauseous. I get so anxious. I went in our bedroom and I just read. And at some point he walked in and he just gave me a look and I felt like I was going to throw up. I mean, it was just like, it has to be akin. I saw somebody write this and it feels true to me. I've been in, to make a little confession, I've been in a couple of abusive relationships with men many, 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 many years ago when I was young and stupid. And the thing that you do when you're in abusive relationships is you keep forgiving and revising and justifying and defending horrible behavior because it suits you to not leave because you don't have the courage to leave, because you don't have the resources to leave, whatever. So you keep putting up with something. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like with Trump. I feel like learning he won again was like being in a room and having someone come in and say, the man who raped you and beat the shit out of you is going to be moving into this house mm-hmm. and sharing a kitchen and a bathroom with you. And you want to just die. And that's how I felt. I mean, for several days, I could barely get out of bed. It was mm-hmm. just like, I can't tolerate it. And I literally have not watched 1 second of news
Me neither.
Since then.
No,
not
I
one
refuse.
Second.
I refuse to put it on. That's one of the things that you talk about. And,
yeah.
you know, we can just get into that right now. I mean, I haven't
sure.
been, I'm not going to watch it. I will say, you know, on MSNBC, I do like Lawrence O'Donnell and I do trust him.
I
and
do
there,
too.
There are people on MSNBC that I like, but nope. You're not getting my fucking eyes. I'm not doing this. I am Mm-mm. so tired of it. As much as I love Lawrence O'Donnell and genuinely trust him, doing it because they sane wash what's going on and they've been doing it. And it's just, it's maddening. And, you know, I've been on Blue Sky, I've been tagging Mark Cuban in posts saying, you know, you and your billionaire friends need to. Or I ask, I don't say you need to, but, you know, I ask them to please, you know, get together and fund a pro-democracy news outlet. Because we don't want to say left or liberal. It's not about that. It's pro-democracy. And we are fighting against this right-wing machine. So you've got the right wing, right? You've got whether it's Tucker Carlson or Elon Musk or all those people. And they're obviously well-funded. There's Fox News behind it. There's, even though Tucker's no longer on Fox, you get the gist, but there's this
sure.
whole apparatus for the right wing that is, very, very, very well funded. There was it was like a little graph I put up the other day where it was red bubbles versus blue bubbles, and the red bubbles were huge and all over the place. And the blue bubbles were just a little bit around. And so, you know, I mean, they keep calling it liberal media and the blue that we're seeing, no, it's ridiculous. And the blue that we're seeing is not something like MSNBC. It's more like these, you know, whether it's Pod Save America or independent news media. And it's being, you know, nobody's funding. Everybody talks about those Soros dollars. There's no such thing. Nobody's getting paid on the pro-democracy side. People like, you know, I'm going to say my boyfriend Bob Seska or Allison Gill of Daily Beans or, you know, Stephanie Miller, some of these, they're all independent and they're all self-funded. And so as long as we are, you know, self-funded, grassroots, fighting against this massive billion-dollar machine of right-wing disinformation, it's going to be more of this. And I mean, that's not to say that I don't know. I don't even want to talk about upcoming elections, if they're viable or not. But I'm just going to say, in the case that they are viable, it, you know, we would, you know, maybe win here. And then because what happened to me on election night was, you know, I'm 3 hours ahead of you. I'm on the East Coast. You're on the West Coast. So when I went to bed, it was not yet clear. There was it was becoming clear, but it hadn't been called. And so, I mean, that was the worst night of my life. I was laying there and my stomach, I mean, I've pretty much had a stomach churn experience since this has happened. I've had a few relaxed days where it wasn't happening that way. But, and that was really because I made the effort. But that particular night, it just churned and churned and churned and churned. And I kept thinking, well, maybe she's going to like eke out this really small margin victory. And, you know, maybe she's not going to get the Senate, but I thought maybe we'll get the House. And well, then what scared me with that idea is 2028, because I thought if she doesn't have a mandate, then we're up against this again. Not that it would be Trump, even though I think, you know, he said something like he might run again. I don't know that he's even going to be able to talk by that. I mean, he's just not well.
No kidding.
We'll see where that goes. But I mean, it would just be another person they would put up, and with their information disinformation machine, that's what scared me. And so now it's all happened. So I, you know, when I woke up, I woke my boyfriend up, and I asked him, you know, did he know? He was looking at his phone, and he's like, it's over. And then I got the same feeling you did. It was just complete and utter wanting to fold into myself. So, okay, let me ask you this. You spent a couple of days just like me, just like in total fear and total dread and just the worst feeling. So how has it been since then, and how have you evolved since then?
Well, I had a couple people reach out to me and say, you know, we're interested to hear what you're going to say about this on your Substack. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to say about it, because I would have normally put something out that Friday. And I thought, I can't. I couldn't. It was like I couldn't put into words how I felt, because I was so angry. And so, you know, I think the thing, and I said this to somebody, that the thing that's the hardest for me is realizing that the values I hold dear, mm-hmm. and that I taught my son, that my husband and I share, that my close friends share, that my family share, which are, you know, decency and integrity and honor and honesty and compassion and all these things, are so unvalued by mm-hmm. enough people to elect this vile, indecent man. And to have those people's voice be louder than ours, mm-hmm. and shove and foist this horrible person onto the whole country is so, it's like a betrayal of humanity in a way. And I couldn't put it into words. I read an article by Substack by JoJo from Jurors that was like, I shared it because she was just let loose, you know, every swear word under the sun. It was like, thank you. I needed to read that just to exercise it for myself. Now I'm going to try to write something more dignified. I put it off until several people asked, when are you going to? And I was like, okay, all right. And that's when I wrote How to Survive a Riptide, because that's what I felt. I felt like that feeling of being swept away from everything that you're mm-hmm. moored to, all the values and the important things and the relationships and the plans and the goals, you know, that have been so powerful and strong during the campaign. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, that's all gone. Every bit of it's gone. And not only is it gone, but what's going to replace it is something that's so horrible and the opposite of all that, mm-hmm. that you're going to suffer. And so, you know, as days went by, and again, no news, no reading articles either. No, I think there were two articles I read. One was JoJo Jurors from Jurors, and one was Michael Tomosky's article from the New Republic, in which I was going to bring it up because his whole thing, the title of the article is Why Does No One Understand the Real Reason Trump Won? Mm-hmm. And he basically says it's right-wing media. And
there you go.
And I agree, because that kind of that aligns with what you just said, which is that, you know, when I would sit there and hear people, even in tweets or on Blue Sky or wherever threads, and I would see people saying, well, you know, the Democrats just, they look down on working class vote. And any parsing, any analyzing of why Kamala lost was bullshit to me. Mm-hmm. Because if you're looking at people that are worried about the economy or worried about immigration, when you have a choice that's as stark and disparate as Trump versus Kamala Harris, you go to the person who's decent and mm-hmm. you say, we need these things fixed. Help us fix them. You don't throw all your values out the window and decide to go with a convicted felon, rapist, corrupt, horrible person who literally never, ever addressed any of those things. Yeah. And yet you've got people going, well, Kamala didn't say enough about this, and she didn't do this right, she didn't do that right. Meanwhile, Trump's talking about concepts. And so you realize any of these discussions are pointless and empty. And so to answer, I'm very long answer to
your
question.
That's good. I'm happy for it.
I thought about what am I doing right now to survive? And what I started with and what is still true is that I switched I refocused my attention, because mm-hmm. I had been so deeply into the campaign and postcards and letters and, you know, getting articles out and going to things and doing stuff that I just went done with all that for now. When everybody was like, come on, we got to pick ourselves up. I'm like, yeah, maybe later, not now. Not for me. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to refocus my attention on my creative projects, which have been a little bit neglected in the last several months. So I had to go to work to get book prep done for my book that's coming out in March. I decided to do some other creative things that I'm working on. I focused on helping some people with some projects they needed my help on. I focused on spending more time with my family, getting outside and going on, all mm-hmm. of that kind of stuff, because I felt like if I can't sort of heal my soul right now mm-hmm. and find a reason to get up in the morning and think life is worth living, then I'm not going to survive these next 4 years with this man. So that's kind of, and that has all helped, right? Because it's put my, I like yesterday, I spent most of the day building this website for a friend of mine. It was very creative and it was very challenging because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And by the end of the day, I had accomplished what I wanted to. I felt good. Mm-hmm. I went, okay, I went in and watched this episode of Bad Sisters. It was all good. And I didn't think about that man once, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought that's part of what it is. Part of it is distraction, you know?
Yeah. You know, yesterday
I'm really active on social media, so you can't help but see stuff about
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
But I don't dive into it. I'm not interested in reading long articles that break it all, deconstruct it all,
right,
figure it all out.
No, I can't. I can't do that either. And it's funny because yesterday I went on my Instagram and I removed every photograph of Donald Trump. And, you know, I mean, whether it was a funny one, I left up other political posts, but it was just, I don't want to look at him anymore. And I know it's like you say, you go on social media, and if you are on social media, there is really no reason to watch cable news. There's no, I mean, it's all there.
None.
It's all there anyway. You get, you know, you don't have to listen to the sane washing of Donald Trump from somebody that you used to have respect for. And,
right,
you know, you can see the headline and form your own opinions instead of listening to theirs. And that's pretty much what I'm doing. And but you know what? I just want to quickly ask you, because I know that, you know, my mother is an author and you're an author and you read each other's books to just kind of help each other out. And so my mother read the book that you're coming out with in March. And what's it called? Chick Singer.
Chick Singer.
And she loved it. So could you just talk a little bit about
nice.
That? I mean, she really did. She's like, oh my God, it's such a great book. It's such a great book.
Oh, thanks.
My mom's an avid
reader.
We
have a mutual admiration society. I love the books too. it's a story that I actually started writing years ago. Somebody threw a prompt at me and said, wouldn't it be weird if someone found your old music from the 80s and posted it online as if it were contemporary and it actually went viral? And I loved that what if prompt. And
right.
So I wrote a story because my history is that I was hardcore, fully immersed and rock and roll I started singing professionally when I was 15, and then when I moved to LA I just got into acting, but then in the 80s I put acting aside and I went full bore new wave rock and roll mama for a solid decade, and that 10 years and many years after that, but that 10 years was very, very exclusive to that moment. And so I had a lot to draw on. And so I wrote this story about a woman who's in her 50s who we don't really know what her story is, you know, and she has an older daughter who comes back home and they have a very fractious relationship. And I gave the prompt to the older daughter, she's only daughter. She is applying to an art school and she has to do a creative project, and she gets this idea once she finds out her mother had been a singer, which had been kept secret from her and her brother forever, which seemed very strange to her. And she finds her tape, and she and a partner from the school create this project where they're going to compare music then and now. And so she ends up creating this fake band and posting the music online, and an A&R guy comes calling, and which blows up everything because the mother has so much to hide. There's so much she's hiding. She won't talk about it. She hasn't talked about it for 30 years. Nobody knows why. I mean, her kids don't know why. Her ex-husband doesn't want to talk about it. And through the process of this story, the mother and the daughter are kind of paralleling an epiphanic trajectory of their lives changing and evolving, and relationships. And I won't give away the kind of the big reveal of what was it that happened, but it takes you fully into the world of music, and it's a love story, a couple of love stories, and it's really a mother-daughter story. Hmm. And it's about facing age and still remembering your creative heart and soul. And that's kind of the takeaway from it, is what she does to reinvent her life and how she gets there, like what compels her to.
Right.
She's almost forced to. So that's the gist of it.
That's really cool.
Pretty good justice.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it sounds great. I'm going to read, I'm going to buy it when it comes out, because I know it'll be a really good way to just get into something else, which is extremely important these days. You know, I want to talk about now just kind of stuff that I've been writing about, because I think it's really important. And I just have to preface this with, you know, full stop, I am woo-woo. I am into the spiritual stuff, but
Me too.
I am not going to push that on everybody because I know my audience is primarily political. I will say this I will just say that I do a show every Tuesday. It's called What's Up. And a lot of that time I spend talking about intentional manifestation, manifesting and creating our lives. And, you know, and I get into stuff that I've been studying that and listening to people talking about near-death experiences for 5 years. So again, I'm not going to push that on anybody, but what I want, like, I talk about it there, and I don't push it on any. I just explain, you know, my journey. I'm not a coach. I'm not trying to tell anybody how to be. I'm just like sharing for anybody who's interested. And so,
yeah.
And that is, you know, the it's called What's Up on my Patreon page. Anyway, so I was thinking about it because one of the things that I've realized, I'd say probably since July to August of this year, is I started looking at this whole process of intentional manifesting in a new way. I mean, if you go online and you go to YouTube, if you were to enter in that term, I believe you get a lot of information. There's so many videos. There's so many people talking about it. And I don't want to disparage anyone because I listened to most of them. And I threw out a lot that just didn't resonate with me. You know, maybe I tried it and then it didn't resonate with me. The one thing that I've always had in the last 5 years is I've always understood that it's a real thing. I just didn't understand how it worked. And, right. You know, and so people on YouTube want you to watch. And so, you know, they give you techniques and people think, oh, if I just focus on the thing, I'm going to get the thing. And that's really not how it works. But I'm not going to get into my understanding of how it works. But what I will say is there's this woman, and I've talked about her before, and I put her in my blog post. I've done 2 blog posts and I haven't really written anything for years. So when you say get into your creative side, I did too, at least in writing. And I thought, well, I can't write about politics in the way that I used to. I don't want to at this point. And, you know, maybe things will change. But right now I'm in such a uncomfortable space. I want to be able to utilize what I've learned to help some other people who may need it. And, you know, just encouraging words from, you know, an internet friend. That's kind of how I see it. And, so the first thing I wrote was, it's called We Are the Force. And so, you know, this woman named Brittany I listened to, she's definitely woo-woo spiritual. If you're not into that, you probably will roll your eyes at her. But the advice that she gives as far as how to intentionally manifest can literally be applied in self-care. And I know this is true because when I posted it, I had a therapist as well as somebody who had been, I think somebody who had been going through therapy and saying, yeah, this is basically what we teach and or what we, you know, not teach, but how we treat people who come. And, you know, if therapist was like, this is what I tell my patients. So ultimately what it is, you know, Brittany, who I listen to, talks about the I am. Now that can, it's got a religious connotation. I'm not religious. She's not religious. And it's not religious. So if anybody out there knows that I am from the Bible, it's not from the religious standpoint. It's really from the force. And when I say the force, I think a lot of people can understand it because of Star Wars. I think a person to point to who would be best described as the force would be somebody like Jimmy Carter or even somebody like Kamala Harris, because it's that universal love. It is that part of us that is, it's like, you know, when you are making a decision that, let's just say there's a decision to be made that you could make a petty decision. You know it's petty and you want to do it because maybe you're feeling pissed, but then there's that part of you that goes, no, don't do that. That's the force. That's what I'm talking about. It's that part of you that knows better. It's the part of you that comes from love and knows what's best for everybody. And so the way that I've been dealing with this, especially, you know, in those first days, I mean, I'm doing it all the time, but I just chose the mantra of I am. And now the way Brittany describes it is different. And if anybody's interested in her, if you're interested in all of this, she's I Am with Brittany on YouTube, and it's B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y. Anyway, so this is not exactly how she's teaching it. This is how I'm bringing it over from like the spiritual side to the more pragmatic side. So mm-hmm. when you're feeling like, you know, when you're seeing a headline or when you're experiencing a lot of fear for whatever reason, even if it's not about politics, just if it's about something else, because I'm going right. through other things in my life that I'm utilizing this for as well. And you, I just keep repeating, I am, I take deep breaths. I am. You could do anything. You could go Nahamyo Rengekyo. You could come up with whatever mantra makes you feel good or feels right to you. And don't try to get, don't try to pretend you feel differently. Don't try to ignore your feelings. Allow them to be there. And as you're repeating and breathing, bring yourself to a place of neutrality. Because I think I can't get to happy right now. I mean, as much as yeah. I'd love to feel happy, it's just, I can't force it. And, but what I can do is calm my fear and get to a place of neutrality. And from a place of neutrality, you think more clearly. You are not allowing that fear to grip you and take over. Nothing good comes from that. And we all feel it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, we don't have to accept constantly feeling that way. You know what I mean? Right. And so, I mean, that's one of that's one of the things that I'm doing. And I'm just, do you have any practices like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been sort of woo-woo for years and years. You know, I'm not religious either. I work with this woman. Her name is Katie Rose. She's a sort of works in the world, in the area of energy, you know, and right. I have to do a lot of, I mean, I have spent the last couple of years doing a lot of sort of introspective internal work to shake off my own anxieties and mm-hmm. feelings of unworthiness and woe is me and oh, I haven't got this and I didn't get that. And, you know, because I spent years feeling very dejected by my creative career and feeling that I hadn't succeeded the ways that I wanted to succeed. And I use this kind of stuff that you're talking about to kind of shake that stuff off and really mm-hmm. be in the moment mm-hmm. and be grateful. I know it sounds trite, but to be really, really grateful for what I have, you know. Yeah. So I look around and I think, shut up, you are so fortunate and so many good things in your life. Just be grateful for those, work on the things you want to work on, and work on how to exercise these negative emotions that come on when things like an election goes wrong, or you feel that you can't survive because the election went wrong. And so, yeah, I mean, I used to do more in the arena of like manifestation and affirmations and stuff. I don't do that so much anymore. I mean, I used to really do it a lot. I'd have them written out and I'd walk down to the beach and I'd sit by the shore and I would say them out loud. And I don't do that so much anymore, not because I don't think that's a good thing to do if that makes you feel good, but I just feel like for me, it's already stated. And for me now, it's just being here mm-hmm. and being in this moment and opening myself up to what I believe is ultimately mine to have in this lifetime. And so far that's working for me. You know what I mean? Like I don't have all the dark self-flagellating emotions that I used to have years ago. And I sort of accepted my life for what it is. And I mean, I'm older, I'm not, you know, I don't have delusions about what's going to happen with my, you know, I thought I was going to be a big rock and roll star. I no longer have those delusions. I wouldn't mind a little success with my books. That's fine. I'm still up for that. But it's really about being in this moment mm-hmm. and embracing what's in this moment. I know that sounds so trite, but sometimes I think about, you know, somebody I love dying, you know, I'll have this thought about what if my, you know, what if this person died of that? And I think, what is, you know, why mm-hmm. are you thinking? Just be grateful that they're here and yeah. be here in this moment and love that they're in your life and they're here and you can engage with them and share experiences with them and stay focused on that. And that's what works for me, you know, and it's kind of, and that does kind of link back to what we were talking about earlier, because I think when you go through a sort of a communal debacle like we've just mm-hmm. all been through, you have to look around at the people you care about. I mean, not just your close people, but even people online and you and your mom and just people that I care about and like and admire and respect, and put out, you know, really good, positive, let's hang in there kind of energy. You know, and I think we are all starting to do that for each other. I mean, I'm not interested in anybody, you know, browbeating me into get up and get back in there.
Right.
That I see people doing that. And if that works for somebody, that's great. But I'm just in this moment. And
Me too. I mean, and really, you know, I think being in the moment, it, you know, it's funny because talking about all the manifesting and stuff like that, first of all, I don't do any of the techniques that you just mentioned. I used to do all that shit. I wrote it down. I would repeat it and affirm it and all that. And I recognize that that's not really how it's done. And I think being in the moment and really just recognizing if you're able to get to a place where you can feel some bit of power and just recognize your power, that puts you in a state. And if you can, if you can keep that state up, it is, you know, it does affect your choices. So just to keep it in a physical realm, you know, when you're feeling panicked, and it's understandable because we all have varying degrees. I mean, there's somebody who might have less than you and they can still feel, wow, I really have a lot. But then on the other hand, there's all these other people out there, and you know, each one of us, we're all facing something personal because of this, whether it's the threat of deportation, which is just fucking terrifying, whether it's losing your health care, there's all, you know, whether or not being able to afford your life because you're already struggling and costs are going to go up, things like that. I mean, these are real problems, and I certainly do not want to diminish that for anybody, because those concerns are my concerns as well. I mean, I have, you know, I have the same concerns, and it's just varying degrees of how it affects you. But I think getting back to when you can get to that place, whether it's like doing yoga or meditating or whatever it is that can like calm you down and get you from a place of like fear to a place of neutrality, then you're able to kind of look at life a little bit more, or I should say a little bit like less through the emotional lens. And, you know, because when we're, again, when we're fearful and we make decisions based solely on fear, then it's not always going to be the best for us. Sometimes it is, because we have, you know, we're human beings and we experience fear for a reason. That fear, it keeps us alive. You know, it has a place, but I think people have a tendency, and I speak from so much experience here, where I've just allowed fear, to keep me from doing something, because I was so into the fear that I missed maybe opportunities that I could have been aware of. Yeah. So, I mean, and you know what? I want to go back to one thing that you said, because you, just like me, you know, we were both in the entertainment industry. You've been an actor, you were a musician, I was an actor. And I really, really did want, obviously, I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be hired for jobs and have all the things that go along with it. And it was funny because when all of the P. Diddy stuff was going, was going down before the election, it just hit me. I thought, you know, I'm so glad that I'm not in that industry right now. I am not one of those people. And when you go back to I am not one of those people. I am not that world. It doesn't mean I'm not creative. It doesn't mean I couldn't have had a, you know, a fun career or whatever. But just Hollywood as a whole, that is not who I am. And I think it's interesting because now when I look back, I was in the entertainment industry for like, I don't know, like 10 years. I was on Days of Our Lives as it was a very small role, but I did it for 7 years. And I played a model twice, then I played a reporter, and then they hired me as a cop. Yeah, and I was a cop for like 7 years. So, and it was just a small little role, right? But it was the experience. I got to go be on a national television show, which a lot of actors never get to experience. And, you know, I got a small part on Mad About You. It turned out they hired me for a bit part. And it was funny because it was so typical of fucking Hollywood. But when I got there, they said, all right, well, somebody else is getting the bit part. And it was like the niece of a producer.
Oh, right. So you're not going to have any lines.
Yeah. I think I don't know if I was. I think that I wasn't going to have a line. I was going to be featured because I was tall.
So
that's why they called it a bit part. So they basically just took that away from me. But the funny part about it was that I got way more airtime than she did. And the next day, or like the following week, I went to my bank, and my bank teller, who knew me, recognized me from the show. It's not like strangers would have recognized me, but they're like, "Oh, I saw you on Mad About You." So anyway, but now, you know, again, when I had that realization, I was reading all about the stars that were involved in these parties and thinking about, oh my God, you know, so many of them know what happened and they're not talking, whether it's because they had to sign an NDA or whatever. I thought to myself, you know what? I actually got exactly what I wanted. I wanted the experience of being an actor, and I got it. I didn't get exactly the experience that I wanted at that time, but I can look back now, and as a person who's older and more mature, I can say, you know what? I really didn't want that. So in the end, you know, while I felt like a failure for a while because I thought, well, I just didn't know how to do it, and I didn't believe that I didn't have the talent. I just didn't think that I knew how to play the game correctly or whatever. But
yeah,
I go back and I'm like, you know what? I'm branching out. I know I'm monologuing and I'm going to shut up after this.
Hey, it's your show, babe.
Speaking of manifesting, this is kind of a story. I had gone to my agent who never sent me out. And I'm like, look, send me out for independent movies. She never sent me out because I didn't have a resume and I was trying to build it. And it's like, I can't build a resume if you're not sending me out. So she's like, hold on. And she calls this guy up and she gets me on audition. And I think it was either the following day or the next. So I only had a couple of days. And what I was going to be was called a reader. And that meant that I would be there for the entire day. And all the men, I was going to read for the lead female role, but I would be there for all the men who were going to read for the lead male role to just, you know, work with. And I knew that the casting director, her name was Chancy Pierce. I had met her. She was a hard ass. And she was a commercial casting director. And I sucked at commercial auditions. Yeah. Sucked.
Yeah, me too.
And so I was a good actor, but I fucking sucked at those commercial auditions. So anyway, I had met her and I didn't impress her in any way. And I made no impression on her. So that was at least good. So before I went to this audition, I did this was like in the 90s, okay? So I was dabbling with manifestation, but I didn't know what I was doing. And so I did this thing where I thought, well, I'm going to lay down and I'm just going to visualize having a really positive experience. And so what happened was fascinating to me because I had never been to the studio where it was somewhere in Studio City, and I knew there were bungalows. And I knew of the bungalows, but I had never been to the bungalows where they audition and have all the acting stuff. So anyway, I was kind of aware of where it was, and I laid down and I just kind of went on. I directed the whole thing in my mind. You know, I started it up where I was like, all right, wake up in the morning and I notice that, oh, you know what? My skin is clear because I had acne. I'm like, skin is clear. I'm not bloated and I feel really good. And my hair, you know, and I imagined almost like every step of that day, having my coffee, getting ready. My clothes look great. I get in the car and I'm driving from Glendale to Studio City. And so there's a place on the 5 freeway where you're kind of going in, I think it's the 210 and it turns into the 5 or 101 or whatever it is. Yeah. That's what it was, 101. And there's all these like overpasses all at once in this like little curve. And it was weird because in my imaginal act, I did not intend this, but I felt euphoric. It just came up, right? So whatever, yeah. I note it. And then I move to where I get to the studio and I go in and I see what the room looks like. And I have all these very specific thoughts about how things happen. And one of them was that the casting director, Chancy, was basically throughout the day complimenting me and telling me how great I was and how I was feeling like, wow, I did better than I even expected. And so, you know, I did this whole thing and drop it. I just dropped it. I didn't have a lot of time. It was a day or two before the audition, so I drop it. And it was so funny because, you know, I get up and everything seems to be going great. You know, okay, my hair looks good. My face looks good and everything. And I'm driving there and I got to that place in the freeway and I felt euphoric. But I forgot about it. I didn't even remember that. It was just something that it just came up naturally. I get to the studio and I swear to God, it looked exactly like it looked in my imaginal act. And I, wow. The furniture was all the same. And then the day just happened exactly like I thought. Chancey got in my ear and she's like, oh my God, you're so talented. Where have you been? And I'm like, well, you've met me before, but whatever. So, but what's interesting about this, and I'm not even saying that I have all this power and control, but what's interesting about this is in the end, I do this audition and I do it really well and everybody loves me and everything's great. And when I had the visualization, I just ended it at like, I did this great audition. Well, I do the audition. I get feedback from my agent that everything was great. Everybody loves me. And then a few days later, it finds out Chancey Pierce was diagnosed with breast cancer and she left the business and the movie never got made. And that was that. So, okay. Every single thing I visualized happened. I didn't go beyond it. I didn't imagine myself getting work from it, whether it was that movie or not. And I'm not saying that, oh, if I would have just imagined that, you know, I don't know what would have happened.
It would have been interesting experiment with that. Yeah.
Right.
So, have you ever had anything like that happen since? Or have you ever done that?
I've had some, not as specific as that, but the quick little thing that I'll say is about a month ago, there's this woman, she goes by the name of Illuminating Joy on YouTube, and she talks about manifesting, and she had a little short, and she just said, you know, imagine yourself, just take a minute and imagine that you get an unexpected check in the mail, and just see it, open the mailbox, take out the check and go, wow, I got an unexpected check. This is so cool. And you feel it, you feel like it's real, and then drop it. And I think with her, she says, you know, she has a little bit after they're going, does this feel possible? And would it be fun? Just answer those questions to yourself and then drop it. So I did that. And I think it's funny because I've been really, really having such a hard time and I haven't been working on manifesting any particular little things or whatever. Yesterday I went to the mailbox and I got an unexpected check. And it was funny because it was a check from Allstate. It was my old insurance company. And I guess there was some kind of settlement and it was only for like $13. And, you know, I mean, I know there's an argument that can be made. Well, you would have gotten that check anyway. And that's fine. But I think it's interesting that I set the intention to just do it. And, you know, a couple of times it came up in my awareness, I would think, and I would kind of think, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm whatever. It's not that I didn't believe I was going to get it, but it was just hard for me to imagine it.
No, I understand.
So
yeah.
I mean, noticed the lack.
That's the thing about, you know, people that are really involved. And I've had so many people around me in my life over the last several decades who are very involved in the world of manifestation, the laws of attraction, the secret and stuff. And, you know, I've read a lot, listened to a lot, watched things, you know, and there's so much. I mean, you can go on Instagram and there's like a million videos from people talking about this stuff. And I think that it all comes down to what feels right for you.
Exactly.
You know, sitting on the beach saying affirmations out loud feels right for you, you do that. If just doing, you know, being in your life and being in the moment, like I was describing, works for you, do that. Because I think it's all about clearing negative energy from around you. And that goes for every aspect of your life, not just for manifesting things, but, you know, like dragging us back to this election thing, that there's so much negative energy around mm-hmm. it. I mean, before, during, and after, and yet somehow we have got to extricate ourselves from that negative energy, because that's not going to help us individually. And we have to clear our own auras, as they say. We have to clear our space so that we can still be open to good things happening, good people coming into our lives, good outcomes. And that's really what I think we should all be focused on, however we do that, because everybody has different ways of doing that. And that's why I don't want to get into writing about Trump or writing
Right.
about
Same.
what we're
Yeah.
going to do next or Matt Gaetz or whatever. I don't let the other people that are involved in that do that. I'm not interested in that. Although I am delighted that he dropped out of the AG
Yeah, me
race.
too.
That was good to hear. But you know, I think what you're doing is really exactly what you should be doing for you, and I'm doing what I should be doing for me, and diving back into your sense of spirituality and your sense of self and your sense of creativity and your sense of empathy for others, helping other people with stuff, whatever those things are. I think that's what people should be doing a whole hell of a lot of right now. And when and if they feel like jumping back into the political grind, then do that too, because
right,
I probably
exactly.
will at some point, but not right now.
Yeah,
because I think, you know, you were talking about stuff like the mass deportations and stuff, and it's like, when I think about those kinds of things, what I'm overwhelmed with is a feeling of impotence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what, I can't do anything about that. What
yeah.
can I do to stop it? When I think about, you know,
it's overwhelming.
What that could,
yeah.
Yeah, what that could possibly end up being mm-hmm. in terms of its actual manifestation. It's so horrifying to me to think of it, that
yeah.
it's like Nazi Germany, you know, it's as bad as it could possibly be. And I sit here feeling helpless going, well, what can I do to affect that? Or I can't do anything to affect that. There's nothing I, little Lorraine Devon Wilkie, can do to stop that from happening. I did my damnedest to get a different person in the White House, but,
mm-hmm.
And so all you can do is go back to your internal self and putting out energy that can, whether you believe it or not, and people that are in the business of energy work, and they very much believe that you can impact. I mean, think about all the spiritualists and Buddhists and nuns and people that never leave their cloister, but they somehow have the ability to affect change in other people and affect change in the world, and I don't know, I think there's something to that. So
there are absolutely, I mean,
know,
and there, yeah,
I,
there's
I,
varying degrees of how people are going to see it. So like somebody who does not put any emphasis on spirituality, there's still the same message of, as a human being, if you put your attention, because like you just said, it's where you put your focus. So if you put your focus on the things that upset you and fear all day long, you're going to put yourself in a state that is very uncomfortable. And it's not to say that, because you and I are both trying to find ways to, you know, not put our attention on this. And it doesn't mean you feel awesome all the time, but there
right.
you can give yourself little bits of a break. Because as human beings, we are not meant to come here and spend every fucking second suffering. And now each person has their own individual story, and I recognize that. But, you know, there's so many of us. There's millions and millions and millions of us. I mean, there's billions of people. And we all have these, you know, it isn't, we're energy, period. We are
yeah.
energy. Energy is what animates us. And so our energetic vibration is something. It's like when people say you have a vibe. He had a negative vibe. He had a positive vibe. I mean, you know what it feels like to walk into a room where there's somebody who's just fun and exciting. There's an energy that they put out that you can just, it's just electrifying, and you can feel it. Just in the same way, you know, Donald Trump has a certain energy that's very uncomfortable, and you don't even have to be in the same room with him. You can
right.
feel it coming off of him. And so it's, you know, little things we can do to help get us through really difficult times is choosing where to put our focus. And so,
exactly.
you know, I mean, I think, you know, that doesn't have to be perceived through a spiritual lens. It's very practical. And, you know, I mean, I've had all kinds of experiences. I've had, you know, I talked about in my Patrons Only, and I'll just barely go over it here. But in 1993, I was sitting in the back of my grandparents' car. It was their 50th wedding anniversary. And it's weird because I had a psychic thing when my brother was born. I was in back of my grandparents' car when I was 12 in 1981. And we were on the way to the hospital, and we didn't know, you know, if it was a boy or girl. And I just went, it's a boy. And it was weird. It just kind of came out of me. And it was. My stepmother had a boy. And so anyway, cut to 1993, and I'm sitting there, and I was 24, almost 25. And I was very, I was always tall, and I never had a boyfriend, and I always felt like I'm never going to find anybody, and I wanted a boyfriend so badly. I had one briefly when I was 18, and it was 9 months, but that was it. I didn't have a boyfriend, and I just wanted one so badly. And so I'm sitting there, and my grandmother gives me a ring, and I put the ring on, and I had what I refer to now as a download, because it wasn't like, I mean, I can call it a premonition, but it was literally just this knowing. There was no words, there were no pictures, and it was just this understanding that this big deal man was going to be coming into my life. And I remember my reaction to it. I recognized it, and I felt like, awesome. I was really glad. Mm-hmm. And I knew in that moment that it wasn't like, oh, I hope this happens. I just knew. But then, yeah, interestingly, it went away. I didn't even remember it till later on. And so that was on June 5th, right? That was my grandparents' wedding anniversary. Right. And so it was June 25th, which was just shy of 3 weeks later. I had this really strong urge to go to this nightclub called Cat and the Fiddle. It was actually a pub.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah. So, in L.A.?
Yeah, in L.A.
Oh, yeah, and I used to go there all the time.
I love that place. It's no longer there. But but I wanted to go so bad all day. And I'm like, gotta go. I gotta go. And it was so weird how I was like, I gotta go. I have to go. And I would call all my friends. Nobody was around. Nobody was free. And then it was like Friday night, and I'm starting to get ready to go. And I'm thinking, you know what? Let me double check if I have my driver's license, because for some reason I would always lose my driver's license. And they carded. They were really strict about carding. And so I looked in my purse, and my driver's license wasn't there. And so I was like, fuck, I can't go. And I was really bummed. So I go to bed that night, and I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe it fell out in the trash because my purse was near the bathroom trash, blah, blah, blah. I go look, there's my driver's license. And then, and so I'm like, I'm going to the Cat and Fiddle on Saturday. And all day, I'm just focused on this. And wound up going with my mom and a friend. And I remember we sat down, and I don't know if you remember, but if you walk in the Cat and Fiddle, on the left, up against the wall, there was a bench. And that bench was usually taken. And this night, it was not. So it was my mom and our friend Steve, and we were all sitting on this bench. And they were talking, and I was, at the time, not aware of anything mystical or anything like that. And I'm just looking around like as if I'm looking for something. I'm like really anxious. And then boom, there he was. And I wow. I didn't remember that I had that download at this point. And I saw his back, and I was hit like it was like a lightning bolt. And I won't go into the whole fucking nine because it's a long ass story. But he was, I told him that we were introduced, and I'm like barely 20, not even 25 yet. I don't even know what this means. But his friend tells me, well, too bad for you, because he's leaving the country for work. And for two, you know, he had to go for work and live in another country. So he's like, he's leaving the country in 2 weeks. And I said, no, you have to stay here and fall in love with me because you're my soulmate. Which I never would have said to somebody ever, 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 ever. It just fell out of my mouth.
What was his response?
He was open to it. He was just kind of open to it. And in the end, it was not something that worked out in the long run. But he turned out to be this very significant person in my life that to this day, I'm still kind of learning from that experience. Wow. And so, you know, I mean, I don't even know what got me on that thing, but it was just like, I think we all have experiences like that, you know, whether maybe not that experience. And I did remember a couple months down the line, I'm like, oh my God, I had that. I called it a premonition for the longest time, but I think it's more than that. It was just this knowing. I think sometimes when you get a premonition, you can wonder like, oh, I hope that happens, or I hope that doesn't happen. But in this case, I just knew. But then it immediately left my mind. And it's like those things tell me there are, I don't know, there's stuff in the universe that we just don't understand. Scientists say they don't understand it. You know, the expanding universe.
Like going back to what you said about your article, there are forces, you know, there are energies and forces. And, you know, I definitely believe that. And I don't understand them any better than you do, or maybe not even as well as you do, but I just kind of surrender to the idea, you know, because it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me that we're not the only existing beings in the universe, that we're not the only, you know, that our little mundane earthbound life is the only thing there is to existence. I just don't think that's the case. And
me neither.
I never did. I was raised Catholic, and I remember being a young girl and being like, what the fuck is all this, you know, and being subversive even in grade school, because I'd be asking the nuns, what about this? And what about this? And what about, you know, and the answer was always, you just have to have faith. And I'd be like, well, I can't have faith if I don't have faith. You know, I would have faith if I had faith. And that's why I'm asking you these questions, Sister Victoria. But, you know, I mean, it's, I'm true agnostic, meaning that I don't know that we can know for certain what it all is, but I am definitely a person who has embraced it as a strong possibility. And it resonates with me. And I've actually had things like you that impacted my actual life, that changed my actual life. Work I've done with this woman that I was mentioning earlier, Katie Rose, that has literally changed my life. And so you go, well, as my husband always says, you can't argue with stuff that actually happened, you know? Yeah. I mean, you get to believe in it if it, you know, because you experienced it. So, you know, I think all that plays into the earlier part of our conversation, which is, you know, just how do we deal with gut punches throughout our lives and in every arena of our lives, whether it's personal or political or social or cultural or any of it, you know. And
yeah, I mean, for me, I think, you know, I mean, there are, it's funny, I put a question on Facebook and I basically said, you know, I had this download in 1993 and, you know, I've had certain things happen to me. Has anything like this ever happened to you? And the reason I did it was because, number one, I just wanted to see what kind of feedback I'd get from this, because I don't know if I want to start writing more about it and whatever.
Right.
But what was fascinating was I got over 200 replies, and everybody was like, yeah, this, or yeah, that. And each person had their own individual experience, obviously. But that what I really thought was interesting were there were atheists who said, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't believe, I know that there are some atheists that are just, I don't believe in a God, period, or I don't believe in, you know, organized religion.
Anything beyond the physical life. When you're dead, you're dead, and that's it.
Right. Yeah. And and I always say, you know, whatever you believe, and beliefs can be changed at any time.
Right.
Beliefs are not facts.
Right.
Beliefs are just beliefs. But whatever you believe is fine. It may not serve you. You know, you might be believing in something that doesn't serve you. I certainly have in my lifetime. I've believed things about myself that weren't true. They were just stories I told myself over and over and over again. I mean, one of the quick things I'll say is, you know, what I wrote in the second thing that I, the second blog post was, when I was a little kid, my mother and father were, you know, liberal parents who split up. I was 3 years old, and my mother was a single woman in 1971. And obviously this was like the beginning of the whole latchkey kid generation, divorce, all of that stuff was really, it was getting big because it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll and the whole ERA movement and women's liberation and all of that. So I watched my mom, who was just trying to figure it all out, you know, when it was just first starting, this whole generation of women and men who were divorcing. And so she didn't have a lot of money. And I would watch her struggle. And so, you know, when you're between, like scientists will tell you, between the ages of like 1 and 7, children are sponges and they take in information and they assume certain things. So what I assumed, and it wasn't the truth, but I assumed that I would always be someone who just wouldn't have money. And it wasn't that I was poor or anything like that. My mom and I were never poor. It's just that she struggled a lot. And as I got older, things did improve, but always still being that single mom, she struggled. And the message that I took at a very young age, well, that's just something I can't have. And it wasn't even that I wasn't deserving. It just was like, that's just out of my reach. And so that idea and that thought when you think a thought over and over and over and over again, it forms a belief. And so it formed a belief in me that I took all the way up to 51. And that's when I started studying, really studying manifestation, because I thought, I don't want to be that version of myself anymore. I don't. So it's like when I decided to start manifesting, because I believe I've been successful in that I don't notice lack now. What I notice is abundance. And even if it's just, you know, something simple like having a warm bed or running water or what, or leaves on the trees outside, there's abundance everywhere. There's abundance of air. And if you put your, if you take your focus, and this is the practical advice for what's happening now, when you take your focus off of the lack, off of the things that are upsetting to you, and you put the focus on something good, it's an effort. And the more you do it, the more you start experiencing it, because that's what you're focusing on. And so you have that feeling. And so it's like, what I did was, it's not that when I stopped focusing on lack, all of a sudden I became a billionaire, but what happened was I was no longer that version of me who focused on what I didn't have. I just stopped doing that.
I 100% agree with you and share the exact same journey, because this has been my year of where I was visiting some friends, people that I've known since I was in college, and they've been through the trenches with me, you know, periods of my life where, you know, all I was so unhappy and felt so, such a failure, and crying about my career and crying about how I couldn't succeed. And I said to them, you know what, that's not my story anymore. I don't choose that to be my story anymore. So we are not going to have those conversations anymore, because they're no longer relevant. And I just kept saying, that's not my story anymore. I have been the perpetrator of that story. I've been the author of that story. I can't blame anybody else. That was my interpretation of how my life went. I spun it in this negative way that I have failed and I did not succeed to the degree that I wanted to, even though I'm so talented and capable. You know, that was my interpretation, and I'm a very different person now. I have evolved from that place, and I no longer have that story. It no longer is my story. And so, and it was funny, because not too long after that, another friend from a different longtime group said to me, you know, your career has always frustrated me because you're so, and I said, stop, because she was going to say, because you're so talented. I said, stop, that is not my story. I'm sorry if you feel that way, but I don't feel that way anymore. I've had an amazing time. I've accomplished amazing things. I've done amazing things, and I'm still doing amazing things, and will continue until the day I die. So that's not my story. So you don't get to, you don't get to say it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, you have to kind of put it out there when, because you're responsible for that story being out in the ether. So it's up to you to edit it now that you no longer embrace it. So yeah, it totally aligns with what you're saying.
Yeah,
you
know? It is all about the story we tell ourselves. And so just to wrap up the show, I think what we can, you know, take from this, or what I'm trying to take from this, is yes, there is something happening out there in the world, right? There are things that are happening. I can't control immigration. I can't control what they're going to do with Obamacare and all of that. But what I can control is how I react to it. And, you know, and how I view, and the story I tell myself. And it doesn't mean you're telling yourself a lie and you're deluding yourself. It's all about getting to that place of, okay, I'm not going to allow this thing that's happening outside of me to define who I am. I'm defining who I am. And yeah, I mean, human beings go through shit. That's just the way it is. And whether you want to believe that we, you know, we choose to come here so we can experience these difficult things because they're learning, or you just think that, hey, we're here and it happens, it really doesn't matter what you look at. Or how you look at
it. It's still going to happen. It's still, and you're still going to have to deal with it.
Yes.
You know?
And so you have to come from that place of, all right, well, am I going to recognize that I have some power here, even if I don't have all the power? Because at least feeling like you have some power gives you power.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, we each have power over how we process and deal with the things that happen that we don't have any power over.
That's
it. And that's, I think, what we're both focused on, is figuring out, how do I stay upright and stay moving forward in spite of these things that have crashed down on all of us in this period of time. And we are way more fortunate than a whole lot of other people who are going to be hit with it more tangibly than we are. And we just have to have lots of empathy and lots of compassion and, you know, do everything possible to help anyone who needs help in the midst of this debacle. Yeah. And we do that by staying strong and positive, not by, I mean, yes, we all got to crawl under the bed with a bottle of Jack Daniels for a few minutes, but, you know, at some point we got to come back out and, you know, start dealing with everyday life again. And, and obviously you're doing that, I'm doing that, you know, we're all doing that. It's our assignment as caring, conscious human beings, you know.
Well, and, you know, maybe this got a little more woo-woo than I intended because of me, but whatever. If you're interested in any of the, and I also have to say, I know that anybody who listens to my patrons only has heard that story, has heard a bunch of these stories before because I've shared them. So I do apologize for the repetition, but I just, I can't,
nah.
I'm just so
fascinated. You don't need to
apologize. But I, you know, I'm glad that we had this talk. I think, I hope it helps people. I mean, that's the whole point. And I do want feedback. I want to know, you know, not did it help you or is it helping you in any way? Does it share a story? I don't know. Engage. Tell me if this is something that you can relate to and if it's something you like and if it's something you want to hear more of or it's something you don't like and you don't want to hear more of. Because I'm just right now I'm in this in-between place and I don't really know how to exist. So I'm doing what I can, and I want to be clear, everything that we've just discussed, your experience, my experience, it's not forcing anyone to say, hey, you have to look at it the way we do. It's just there's alternative ways to look at things. And so I think, you know, we get stuck in, you know, certain ways of viewing things in our life that can be limiting to how we experience life. And whether it's practical and pragmatic, whether it's woo-woo and spiritual, there are ways to experience things a little differently, even if it's not going to be perfect. So,
well, and I think that it's good to have these conversations because at the end of the day, nobody has to subscribe to any of it, but there might be ideas or thoughts or things that make people go, oh, I hadn't thought of that, or oh, I should try that, or you know, I'm going to go down to the beach with my list of affirmations. That's what I'm going to do, whatever works. Yes. That's kind of how I feel.
Whatever
just
gets you through the day.
Keep your head up, and it's so trite, but keep your head up. I mean, we gotta stay upright.
Yeah.
That's all. Upright.
All right. Well, as I, you know, I want to talk to you when we say goodbye, so don't hang up. But before I let you go, just tell everybody where to find you on the net.
Well, the best place to find me is just go to my website, which is my name, Lorraine Devon Wilkie. .com, and all my links and everything is there, so it's just the easiest thing to do.
Okay,
find all the social medias and all the stuff. So.
All right, well, I've got some of your links in the show description. Lorraine, it was just awesome talking to you, and thank you.
It was
so
awesome
much.
Talking to you with Kimberly, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, we will. Take care.
All right, take care.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.